Welcome to the September 2006 edition of Judd's New England Journal, the rather curious monthly musings of Judson Hale, the editor-in-chief of Yankee Magazine, published for 71 years in Dublin, New Hampshire. This is entitled, Going by the Signs. Forecasting the weather is full of hazards. Going by the signs has always been a popular method of individual weather forecasting here in New England, other than simply hearing the weather on radio and television. The signs are everywhere, particularly beginning this month and extending through the fall, and they do seem to have some significance in the overall weather scheme of things. But interpreting them is something else again. For example, if in a given fall a group of wasps build their nests very high off the ground, then we're apt to expect a heavy, snowy winter. The wasps, we figure, don't wish to have their nests buried by all the snow they know will be coming. On the other hand, if the wasps build their nests low to the ground, some of us will expect a heavy, snowy, cold winter. Wasps may be well aware of the insulating value of snow and may therefore instinctively want their nests located down in it for that purpose. No doubt most wasps know what they're doing, but, the number of nuts gathered by squirrels in the fall is another commonly used winter indicator. Many nuts, tough winter. The problem, of course, has always been to count the nuts gathered by an individual squirrel and to judge that amount in comparison with the number of nuts gathered by the same squirrel during the previous fall. Latch onto a lazy or sick squirrel in either year, for instance, and the entire forecast is skewed. On my television appearances each fall, being interviewed about the current edition of the Old Farmer's Almanac, and incidentally the 2007 edition will be out the 12th of this month, I used to carry around a woolly worm in a jar. Now, I should add here that I don't really believe, as some do, that the width of the woolly worm's two black stripes indicates the severity of the beginning and the end of winter. Nor do I think the area between the stripes has anything to do with midwinter weather. It just doesn't make sense to me, or for the woolly worm or anybody. Most signs of nature do make some sort of subtle sense. As to the Old Farmer's Almanac, which has always gone to press in the early summer, long before the signs of winter appear, we mainly base our annual forecast on the cycles of the sun. Nonetheless, I used to carry along my woolly worm in a jar because that's the sort of thing the television people really want on their shows. They insist on it. Anyway, the woolly worm, or the woolly bear, is an interesting little creature. You know what's the only worm that actually hibernates for the winter, just like a bear? It has centuries of winter forecasting tradition associated with it. And you know, it also can be good company. One year, my woolly worm's name was Garth. Garth and I appeared on over a dozen television shows in various cities across the country. What the television producers, interviewers, audiences, and I didn't realize was that Garth was dead. Died somewhere along the line, and I sincerely thought he'd merely begun to hibernate, like woolly worms do. I made the discovery during a morning show in Cleveland. Seems my host wanted to actually examine Garth on camera. So I removed his inert little form from the leaves I had inside the jar and placed him on the desk of said host, who then proceeded to poke him with his pen, hoping he'd move, I suppose, at which point Garth broke in half. He was dry as a bone. You know, he must have been dead for nearly a week. I was very embarrassed. But of course, with weather forecasting, you have to expect the unexpected.